In Ezekiel 22 and verse 23, the word of God said, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," I mean, he's glad the word of the Lord came to you one day.
Amen.
God made it alive to you. Amen. Let you hear it. He said, "Son of man, say unto her," he's talking about Israel, "Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst of her thereof, like a roaring lion ravening with prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things and have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken." I'm going to tell you, beloved, listen, there's only one way that you can say with a definite, "Thus saith the Lord God," and that's right here in this book. Amen. The Bible said here, the people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. In the verses that I've read, I'm going to read two more verses. How many would agree with me that they were in a mess? They're in a mess, Brother Steve. Israel is in a mess. How many of you are paying attention in the day and hour that we live in and understand we're in a mess? I want to preach this morning on this subject for a little while. I'm going to read these next two verses. God's looking for a man in the middle of the mess. Look right here in verse number 30. "And I sought for a man among them." God came looking. I'm not saved today because I came looking for God. I'm saved today because he came looking for me. "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found," what's that next word? Brother Steve, God couldn't find one man that was willing to stand in the gap. I wonder what God's looking for today in America. I believe he's looking for the same thing he was looking for in Israel. He's looking for a man that'll stand in the gap. "Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." You can be seated. Please pray for me. Father, I thank you this morning for the word of God. Thank you, dear Father, this morning that, Lord, you know us, that you love us. Lord, there may be someone here today, Lord, that's drifted far, far from the shore. But Lord, what they need to know is you love them and you're looking for them.
Amen.
There may be someone here today, our Father, that has never come to know Jesus and the free pardon of sin. Lord, one little boy told me this morning, "No, Pastor, I'm not saved." Lord, would you go looking for him? Would you help him to sense, our Lord, that knocking at his heart's door? Lord, that man, that woman that's in our midst today, Our Father, I pray that you'd just go yonder looking for them. Lord, you taught us that you leave the 99 and you go out yonder, Lord, after that one sheep that's lost. God, I pray this morning, do your office work in this service. Challenge our hearts, our Father. God, as all those babies gathered around in my yard yesterday to celebrate little Ava's first birthday, Lord, how my heart was touched. Oh, God, what's going to happen in America if somebody don't stand in the gap? If somebody don't raise high that old bloodstained banner and proclaim, Lord, that the truth is still the same. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I ask you, Father, to help us to glean and help us, Lord, to lean on you in this message. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I don't know about you this morning, but I believe that our country is on the verge of some troublesome times. I believe that one of the reasons that it's on the verge of troublesome times is God has been kicked out. Just last week, I had the privilege with my own eyes, I hope you saw it, but I saw where a police officer, a female police officer, mistakenly went into somebody else's apartment thinking it was her own and shot a black man that was in his own apartment. So it was a wrongful death. It was a wrongful shooting. But I saw where that man's brother sat there as a witness and said, I forgive you. Oh God, there's hope. If we could just find some men to stand in the gap, say amen, there's hope. He said, I wish no ill upon you. I may not get everything verbatim, but he looked up at the judge and said, can I give her a hug? That was a dangerous thing. I mean to tell you, that was a dangerous thing. But somewhere or another, I believe God was in it. I believe America needs to see the love of Christ. Amen. And the judge finally, maybe a little bit reluctantly, said, sure. And they embraced one another. And then the judge gave her her own Bible. And then the atheist began to complain. There's a gap. There's a gap in America morally. There's a gap in America spiritually. There's a gap in America politically. Say amen. And God's looking for a man to stand in the gap. There was a gap between me and the God of heaven. And God sent his Son to stretch out his arms in that gap so that that gap could be bridged. And I could go to be where God is when I leave this world in his heaven through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God declares. We see his declaration. He says to Israel, there's the gap. He talks about the priests. He talked about the princes. He talked about the prophets. He talked about the people. Everywhere God looked, there was a gap between the way that things are supposed to be and the way that things are. There was a gap. The Bible talked about they were made no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. I want you to know this. God has never changed his mind about what's clean and what's unclean. What was unclean in the book of Deuteronomy, listen to me carefully, beloved. When God calls something sin, it's still sin today. God gave the commandments. They're not suggestions, amen. They're God's commandments, and God is holy. And God is declaring there is a gap. There's a gap morally. There was a time when even people that were lost had more morals and more standards than a lot of people today that profess the name of Christ. There's a gap. God said, I'm looking for something. I'm looking for a man. I'm only one man, but I am one man. And I believe that we might sometimes get a little discouraged and think, what can I do? God said, I want you, having done all, to stand. Just find that gap and stand in that gap. Take your stand, amen, for what's right. We see God's desire. What's God looking for? He's looking for a man. I want you to look at this here just for a moment. These words are, I think, important. He said, I sought for a man. Tell me the next two words. Among them. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. God's not looking for a man out there in the world, amen. God's looking for a man among them. He's looking for somebody, beloved, that knows him, that'll take their stand in this gap that we have in our society. We need somebody to stand in the gap for their family. Let me ask you this, husbands, dads. If you won't stand in the gap for your family, you tell me who will. Amen. We need somebody to stand in the gap for our community. We need somebody to stand in the gap for our country. We need somebody that will stand in the gap for the sinner. Somebody to say, God, I remember when I was separated from you. When I was over there and you were up there. And I remember, Lord, when you put somebody in that gap that was willing to take you by one hand and take me with the other hand and introduce me to you. Amen. What a blessing that is. I don't think we get it sometimes. God didn't say, I'm looking for a preacher man. Say amen. God didn't say, I'm looking for a perfect man, because there was only one perfect man. His name was Jesus. God just said, I'm looking for a man. It might be one of these teenagers, amen, but God is looking for a man, for somebody that will not bend and will not bow and will not break down under the pressures of this world, that'll take their stand. Isaiah 58 and verse 12 said this, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. I hope and pray to God that you don't hang around Bible Way long till you find out we've got a little bit of determination around here to stay in the old time way. Amen. Seek out the old paths. Amen. God said, when you find them, walk in them. That's where the blessing is. I like this old book. I don't have a problem with this old book. We don't need to fix this old book. We need to read this old book and let it fix us. Amen. God has a desire that they shall be of thee, shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Look at that. Brother Ralph, we've about run our race. What about these youngins? What about a little baby yesterday walking out across the yard, 1 year old? Dear God, if it keeps going in the direction it's going, what is it going to be 20, 25 years from now? We need somebody to stand in the gap. We need mamas and papas, moms and dads, standing in the gap, pleading the blood of Jesus over our youngins and our grand youngins and over our churches. We see God's desire. The Bible said, raise up the foundation of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. You know what that young man was trying to do in that courtroom last week? He was trying to repair the breach, not make it wider. He is trying to close up the breach, not make the hole bigger. And I think it's a beautiful thing, a wonderful thing, that he was a young black man and that she was a white lady. I think it's a wonderful thing, amen. There's not a racist bone in my body, amen. I'm telling you, God loves everybody. I went to school with some youngins that were black, and they had more, better clothes, a better education, and their moms and dads, better homes and better cars than I had, amen. And we were friends. When I went to prison and preached the gospel, I wasn't saying, God save them white boys. I was saying, God save them all if they're lost without God. I'm telling you, beloved, thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. We see God's declaration. We see God's desire. But what about God's design? How's God want to do this? There's a hole in the wall. How does he want to fix it? What's God's design? He said, I'm looking for a man. Just a man. He looked throughout all of Israel. He looked among the priests. He looked among the prophets. He looked among the princes. He looked among the people. What a sad commentary. He said, I can't find one that would do like Moses. You remember what the Bible said of Moses. It said in Psalm 106, verse 23, therefore he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. One man made the difference. You see, we listen to the devil. He'll tell you you're wasting your time. He'll tell you you're just one man. You can't make a difference. But God said one man. That's what I'm looking for. One man that will stand in the gap. That's God's design. I want to give you this morning and I'll be finished. We're in a mess. And right in the middle of the mess, God said, I'm looking for a man. If we're not careful, listen to me carefully right here. What we want to do instead of standing in the middle of the mess, we want to avoid the mess. We don't want any kind of confrontation. We don't want any kind of discomfort. Can I tell you, at Calvary, Jesus confronted hell. He confronted all the imps of hell. And he came out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The Bible said, Jesus, there's that mediator. One mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. One we can go to in prayer. We see his declaration, his desire, his design. But I want you to look at his warning. It's a dire warning. He said that I should not destroy it. But I found none. God was telling Israel, listen to me carefully, that judgment was coming. God would use heathen people, wicked people. He's about to use the Babylonians and bring judgment upon a people that have forgotten God. You say, preacher, why do you think that God has not judged America? Well, I won't be dogmatic about this. I believe there are degrees of judgment, and we're living under some of that. But the full-blown judgment of God, I believe, has not come for two reasons. Number one, there's a remnant of God's people. You remember, beloved, listen, in Sodom and Gomorrah, God was not going to rain the fire and the brimstone until Lot and his family got out. I believe he's fixing to take us out. I want to be found standing in that gap. when God comes to take us out. The Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. I believe one of the reasons that judgment has not already fallen in America, the Bible talks about in the book of Isaiah, I believe it's chapter number 1, it uses the phrase, a very small remnant. Had it not been for a very small remnant. And I believe there's a remnant of God-fearing, God-loving, born-again, saved people in America. And number 2, thus far, we have stood with that little nation of Israel. God told Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. I believe that still goes today. And I'm going to tell you, there have been some times that I think we were on shaky ground there. I believe the ground's pretty firm and pretty solid right now. But every country's just one leader away. Just one. How we need somebody standing in the gap. There's a huge gap between conservatism or the conservatives and the liberals. How many knows what I just said? You say, preacher, don't you get political. I'm not. I'm just going to get biblical. I believe the Word of God. If you believe the Word of God, then you believe marriage is between a man and a woman. I believe the Word of God. I believe the Word of God tells us to train up children. Train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. That's what the Word of God said. I believe the Word of God. I don't believe a man ought to be getting drunk. I believe a Christian man ought to be under the influence of the Holy Ghost, not under the influence of Bud Dummer. But see, what that puts me, listen to me carefully right here. You don't have to like what I'm going to say, but if I believe the Word of God, then I believe that's a baby in that mother's womb. Where that puts me is toward this conservative side. Amen? Because that's what you're... according to this world, a Bible thumper. No, I'm a Bible believer. Amen. One of the things I believe is wrong in our country is not enough men have unashamedly and without fear declared this book right here. It's amazing to me how that you could punch a pregnant woman in the belly and if that baby dies, you're guilty of murder. Are you all with me this morning? And yet they're talking now about laying the baby up on the counter while you make a decision. That decision ought to have been made before she got pregnant. I'm going to tell you, if we keep going the way we're going, there'll be a day, Brother Larry, when they'll just decide you're no use to society anymore, so let's just stick that needle on the back of your head. Help us, Jesus. Our lives are to be in His hands. Amen. God's looking for a man. Ezekiel said in 13, Verse 5 said, you have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. We're in a battle. We're in a battle for our children. We're in a battle for our grandchildren. I believe, listen, we could just be one leader away from being in a battle for our churches. Are y'all listening to me? We have a great freedom here in America. There are churches that are meeting around the world. I, I never shall forget when Brother Brian teaches, he brings it up often. I think about all those other pastors and those other Sunday school teachers that are opening the same book and teaching the same truths. But everywhere in the world, you can't do it openly. Some of them are underground. Some of them have to hide their Bible. Some of them don't have a Bible. They just got a chapter, and they study it and read it, and then share that chapter with another family. We're so blessed. We've got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Bibles laying around the house. I wonder if the atheist has stopped buying groceries. I wonder if the atheist has stopped buying gas. You say, preacher, where are you getting at? Well, the last time I looked, that stuff that's green in your wallet has "In God We Trust" on it. You let a person get in a desperate situation, the first thing that will come out of their mouth is, "Oh my God, He's still God." Whether we believe He is or not, He's still God. And He's still looking for a man that'll stand in the gap. If you're like me, you can come before the Lord and say, "Lord, I ain't much. But I am what I am by the grace of God. God, I want my babies to be saved. God, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go to heaven without my babies." Do we, David? We want them to be saved. God said, "I'm looking for a man that'll stand in the gap." I believe there, God has blessed this church with some men with a backbone like a saw log. They don't bend with the winds of this world. When something comes up, it might get a preacher in trouble for taking his stand. I'll hear something like this: "Preacher, we agree with you." What they're in essence saying is, "Preacher, we agree with that book. If it's in that book, that's where we're going. That's the way we're going. We're going to that book." And I believe that's important. God declares there is a gap. God's desire, He's looking for a man. It ought to blow our minds this morning that the likes of him, Brother Rose, would be looking for somebody like the likes of you and I to stand in that gap. But that's what I'm reading. Paul said it like this. He said, "We're ambassadors for Christ." God's design, a man to stand in the gap. God's dire, dire warning that I should not destroy it. It's coming. Where will we be found in history? Will we be found a people that just rolled over and played dead while the devil and sin and all the things that this world is trying to tell us is normal, when this book tells us it's not normal? There's a lot going on that's not even natural. It's against nature itself. Will we be found standing, or just rolling over? I'm of the opinion that a lot of what's happened in America does not lay on the steps of the White House. I'm of the opinion a lot of what's going on lays on the steps of God's house. The Bible said judgment must first begin at the house of God. May the Lord help us this morning. to be sensitive to Him. God's looking for a man, looking for a saved man. You say, well, preacher, I'm not saved. He's looking to save you. And then He's looking to stand you up in that gap. Stand you in that gap for your family. Stand you in that gap for your community. Stand you in that gap. I wonder if we could get a statistic. I wonder in the month of October what the statistic would look like. Brother Grizzle, on how many's making a big to-do out of Halloween. And how many even darkened the door to the house of God one time in the book in the month of October? You say, preacher, you shouldn't have said that. It's on the right page. I promise you this. There'll be a lot of people celebrate a man in a red suit here before too long and never heard about the red blood that run down the cross of Calvary. And a lot of it's because there's not a man to stand in the gap. God told Ezekiel, I looked for a man, and I found none. By the grace of God this morning, may God help us to be that man, to be that woman, to be that teenager. Trent, I'm looking back here at you, and I love you, son. I believe God's going to use you. Many others. He's looking for a man. Looking for a young man. Oh, Daniel said, I'll be that man. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I'll be that man. I'm not going to go the way of the wicked king. I'm going to go with the way of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, as we come to this time of invitation this morning, we pray that you speak to our hearts. God, the responsibility that lies before us as your children is absolutely awesome. God, we can't do it alone, nor do you expect us to do it alone. Lord, help us, having done all, to stand in that gap, to be used, our Father, to be counted. Lord, this morning I pray that you'd deal with hearts. Help us, Lord, not to roll over and just to pretend like, Lord, it doesn't matter, because, Lord, it does. Help us to pray, Lord, over what's going on in our country. Help us to get back to the Bible. Help us, Lord, to stay in that old path. Help us, God, not to give up on the blood of Jesus, the blessed hope in the Bible, Lord. That incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I pray, Lord, this morning, you'd help us to gather in this altar this morning, stand in the gap. Stand in the gap for that lost man, that lost woman, that lost boy, that lost girl. Stand in the gap, our Lord, for our community. Lord, I don't know how many times since I've been in Bloomingdale, folks have talked about what it used to be versus what it is. Oh, God, you're still God. There's still hope. Help us, Lord, to get around the throne of God this day and pray. Lord, I pray you'd save that one, our Father, that you're dealing with this morning. Stir in that heart. Draw them with cords of compassion. And help us in Jesus' name.